Stampede Blue. What we talking about? Indianapolis, AFC South. Stampede Blue, let's air it out. Fly route, let's air it out. Topics, loaded like offense. Colt-centric, talking about it.
Welcome back to another Stampede Blue Colts cast. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm your host, Matt Danley. Thank you guys for coming back to the show. Colts end up pulling out a Week 10 victory over the Jacksonville Jaguars, 29-26. Big win for the Colts. Kind of an up and down game. Obviously, you had such a strong first half. Second half was a little bit of a different story. But in general, Colts get their first AFC South victory of the year. Big win. Any way you slice it, doesn't really matter. And, you know, the Colts end up pulling it out. We're going to talk a little bit today, a little bit about what we saw, you know, just some of the highlights, I guess, more or less, and just kind of go through this and talk about, you know, what the Colts have coming up in the future. So a little bit of an aside here is one of the things that we saw that was so obvious with the game the other day, yesterday, is that the Colts really imposed their will in the first half. It was impressive. I mean, not necessarily defensively or anything like that, but we definitely saw the Colts taking it to them offensively. And it just was domination, especially when through the air. You know, Andrew Luck looked fantastic again. He was continually being protected. Gotta love that. But we'll go through a little bit of everything here in a minute, and we'll kind of give, you know, a little bit of, you know, the ups and downs of it, because there were certainly some downs, you know, any way you slice it. Colts put up 29 points in the first half, looked like they were well on their way to just absolutely smoking the Jaguars. And, you know, I was thinking about it at halftime. I thought, wow, the Colts are already to their season average in points. The other side of that was that the Jaguars, I think they were almost, you know, there. They think their average is like 17 before the Week 10 game, and they were at, I believe, 13 or whatever it was before halftime, or 16, I think. And that kind of, I mean, it wasn't the Colts' offense that worried me, obviously. You know, I thought, well, the Colts are just continue to put up some points, even if it's only a couple touchdowns in the second half, or, you know, three field goals, or just whatever it was. I figured that they could get themselves in a position to continue to build that lead, and it wouldn't be a game, to be quite honest with you. But I wasn't planning on, you know, the Jaguars only having to score a couple times in the second half to really tighten that score up quite a bit. I intended on the Colts being able to kind of put it out of reach. Colts got shut out in the second half. That's not something that we've seen this year, and it's not something that we should expect to see again. It was not good. The Colts in the first half had so many – I mean, they only – in the second half, the Colts only had 7 minutes of possession out of the 30 minutes. And, I mean, that – it's not – that's not good. It's like 7 minutes and 40-some seconds. That you cannot do that against any team, no matter if it's AFC South or another team. You can't do that. You're going to get beat 90% of the time. The Colts are lucky that Blake Bortles is largely terrible and that they weren't able to sustain any more scoring than they were. You know, the Colts defense end up stepping up at the end. And, you know, all in all, the Colts – run defense was pretty solid through the game. So the Colts in the first half had four drives of at least six plays. Okay, that's, I mean, six plays, seven plays, 10 plays. They had several more than six plays. But you have to put together sustained drives like that. You've got to be solid on third down. You've got to be able to run the ball, something that the Colts were really not able to do if you look at the whole thing. And that's just something that you can't have. In the second half, they had zero drives of more than five plays. That's also something you can't. You have to get through this. You have to be able to push forward. You've got to be able to string a few plays together. Now, we'll go through this. You look at the second half, all the things that kind of went wrong. I mean, it was almost like the perfect storm of negativity for the Colts. They only had a few possessions. So you take the interception that was off of Ali Cox's hands after, you know, hauling in his touchdown. Failed third down run on third and one from Marlon Mack. That followed, I mean, it was third and six, and there was an offsides penalty or encroachment on the Jaguars, making it third and one. And, I mean, God, all you've got for 1 yard, all you've got to do is get there and fall forward. And there was nothing there. Penalties hurt the Colts. The drop by Hines, you know, it was a first and 20. He would have gotten at least 15 yards, I think. I mean, Jaguars had the middle of the field pretty opened up for him, and he just, you know, slipped right through his hands, hit him off the chest. The missed field goal by Vinny all led to a very unimpressive second half for the Colts. There was a lot of mistakes. A lot of things went wrong. The Colts are very lucky that they had such an impressive first half, I think, and I'm pretty sure that everybody can agree on that. The Colts, you know, came out with a lot of explosive plays. 53-yard run from Wilkins, his only touch of the day. 53-yard touchdown from Andrew Luck to Eric Ebron. Doyle had a 20-yard catch. Allie Cox had a 27-yard catch. And Hilton had a 35-yard catch. So you saw that the Colts were, you know, being explosive. I mean, Andrew Luck was phenomenal. And they were going downfield. They did dink and dunk a little bit too. But you saw, especially on that first touchdown, which was to Ebron, that was all being set up. You know, that's all set up by the dink and dunk. Look around. You have the Jaguars sucking up to the close to the line of scrimmage, hoping to kind of stop one of these short plays. And you end up going over the top. And just Ebron, I mean, T.Y. Hilton might want to give him his nickname, the Ghost, because they didn't. I mean, there was another couple plays, and I think it was on Allie Cox's touchdown. Eric Ebron was still wide open in the corner of the end zone. They did not guard him at all day. He could have had easily six catches and probably four or five touchdowns if he wanted to be, because they just did not guard him. They could not guard him, and they were not on it together. The Colts completely disassembled that Jacksonville defense, like just one play at a time, just continually making them make mistakes. They were not good in coverage. The Colts really, really looked hard and good in the first half. The Colts also gave up some explosive plays. That 80-yard touchdown to Moncrief, that should have been a tackle. I mean, Malik Hooker came over, was in good position at least to stop him, should have either A, wrapped up, or B, got him out of bounds, and he didn't either. That can't happen. You've got to be physical, especially along the boundary. That is unexcusable. I mean, you just cannot have that. Fournette had a 31-yard play. Yeldon had a 20. I mean, there were some other plays then. I mean, I think their longest rush of the day was like 13 yards. And the Colts held them to, I think, 91 on the day. And that's pretty good, because I think they rushed the ball like 30 sometimes. So you have to like that, the end result. You know, it didn't always look good. The Colts didn't always stop them, but they did do some things that were really impressive. We'll get to that here in a minute as well. Luck was 21 of 29 for 285 yards, three touchdowns and a pick, and almost 10 yards per attempt, 9.8. So you've got to like that. Like I said, going downfield, good yak, big plays helped, obviously. The Colts running game, however, minus Jordan Wilkins' 53-yard run, were at 1.2 yards per carry, 28 yards on 23 carries. That's ugly. Okay, the Colts have been excellent the past couple few games. I mean, two back-to-back 200-plus yard rushing games. Marlon Mack, you know, what, 89 4 weeks ago, I guess, when considering the bye. And then the past 2 weeks, well over 100 yards on both of them, 120-something, 130-something. I mean, you're not going to get that every week. I get that. But you've got to maintain. I mean, the Colts just got manhandled up front in the running game, and they did. They were missing blocks. They were getting some blocks and being successful with their blocks, but there was such a cluster up front, and Jacksonville really did a pretty good job of closing up that middle. The Colts didn't have a lot of kick-out opportunities where they could bounce out and try to get a bunch of yards. That was, you know, Jacksonville did their held their own in loading up the line of scrimmage and keeping the Colts running attack really, really pretty stagnant aside from that big run from Wilkins. That big run was nice. It was good to see that. You liked the play design. It was really good. It was well executed, so you have to love that. A lot of guys out there in front trying to help him get some extra yards blocking for him. The Colts only allowed 2.7 yards per carry. Like I said, I think it was 91 yards on 30-some carries, so that, you know, that's good. You like the end result with that. However, it was still a pretty effective running game when you consider what they did off the pass afterwards. Their play action was successful, I think, against the Colts. Mentioned Ebron. He was fantastic again. Three touchdowns, two receiving, one rushing. He had three catches total for 69 yards, had 11 total touchdowns in his career before this season. He has 9 this year already total. Also has his best yards per reception at 11.9 right now of his career, and he is on pace to have a career year in all categories. Catches, yards, I mean, everything. So Eric Ebron right now is one of the Colts' best weapons. one of the best, and one of the most effective for that matter. He's had some drops, you know, in a couple games. I think it was the Texans game. I can't really remember. It's been a few weeks, okay? And he's had some drops. But largely, he has been very, very reliable for Andrew Luck. And you continue to see that the chemistry between those two is growing, and he continues to go to him. He's going to feed that dude until he just can't do it anymore because he is that effective. The Colts have good play design. We've got Doyle back on the field now. Ali Cox at least looks to be some sort of a weapon with his length and his ability to jump and go get the ball. He's got a lot of, you know, polishing left to do, but in general, he, you know, the Colts, again, their tight end room looks really solid right now. So that's a huge, huge help. Hilton, 3 catches for 77 yards after being quiet for much of the game. You just kind of wonder right now what his future is. And I'm not trying to say that he's not great, or doesn't have the potential to be great. And I don't mean that he's going to possibly not be a Colt for very long. That's not what I'm getting at. What I'm saying is it makes you wonder what maybe Ballard and Wright kind of see in him. Do they want that to be their number two receiver? Do they want to go after a top flight receiver coming out of college this year, or maybe a massive free agency pickup or something like that in order to really try to utilize T.Y. Hilton's skills to the best of the ability of the offense? Can you have a guy that's short, and a guy who is like mainly a take the top off a type of defense? Can you have that as your number one when it doesn't, when he disappears kind of like this occasionally and just doesn't become a focal point of the offense? I don't know that. It's just something that I've been thinking about lately, and just, you know, it would make sense to me if the Colts saw him as their number two of the future and continued to feed that. Because, I mean, look, if you can get a guy, I mean, yes, Harrison in the back in the day was, you know, phenomenal. Wasn't a big guy. You know, he had Reggie Wayne as the complement there, whereas Reggie Wayne, after Harrison left, became the number one for the most part, or the reliable guy. It would be, I think, interesting and probably beneficial to the offense if you had a larger receiver who was also fast, who could also do some of those crossing routes and be effective. And then you've got T.Y. Hilton, where you kind of take some pressure off of him. Right now, there is no pressure being taken off of T.Y. Hilton. He's still seen as the number one guy. He's still seen as the guy they need to stop. And I think that that's kind of why we see some of the inconsistent play, I guess, or inconsistent results, rather, of T.Y. Hilton's game. So something to think about. It doesn't mean anything. I don't know. Maybe nothing, but maybe something too. The Colts line kept Luck completely clean for a 4-straight game. You've got to love that. A lot of it is the scheme, the quick passes getting out, a lot of everything that Frank Reich is throwing into this offense. But a lot of it is also his ability to step up with better interior protection, step up and climb the pocket. We don't see Andrew Luck going laterally very often to get out of the pocket. Occasionally they will run something to where they move the pocket and try to get Luck on the perimeter of the package. But more than most of the time, it's Andrew Luck stepping up. You know, maybe he'll go lateral once he gets close to the line of scrimmage, but a lot of the times it's Andrew Luck stepping up in the pocket and dealing the ball downfield. You have to love that as well, because that's important. That's a large part of the success right now of this offense. When you have the interior protection like that, when you have the blitz or the defensive line being spread out like that, you give Andrew Luck not only a place to step up, but you give him clear vision of the field. Okay, there's nobody in front of him aside from a linebacker who's watching him or in coverage up there in front, but you don't have all the defensive linemen there to bat the ball down. You don't have them there to try to get a sack on Andrew Luck. He steps up, he's clean, and he deals. And that's important. It's so important to this team. And, you know, we can talk about their lack of ability in the run game that they, you know, possessed yesterday. You can talk about, you know, he's getting pressure before, you know, the past several weeks. He was getting pressure, not being sacked very often. But right now, this offensive line, protection-wise, in the passing game, is coming into their own, and it is really fun to see. It's something that you just didn't plan on, even in the games, even while they're being played. You know he hasn't been sacked for a few games. You know he's not being touched very often. But the beauty of all this is that Andrew Luck legitimately is just continuing to skate without being hit by a defender. That's huge. It's a big piece to what the Colts are doing right now. Also, Anthony Walker, Clayton Gethers both had 10 tackles throughout the game. They were active. They were not fantastic, but they were eating up a bunch of tackles. Darius Leonard did not lead the Colts in tackles this time, which, you know, is whatever. Darius Leonard was still very good. He was still very active. He was he gained some pressure a couple times. And mostly, you just see him as a guy around the ball all the time. One game where he doesn't have 15 tackles is not a bad thing. He is still a fantastic player. And you like to see Anthony Walker. I told you guys before, I think Anthony Walker is underrated. Clayton Gethers, a lot of his were downfield tackles. But, he had a couple times where, in the beginning of the game, the defensive line was slanting. We've talked about this several times on the show. The defensive line would slant to the left. But the backside, Clayton Gethers was a big part of this. So was Kenny Moore. Those guys were shutting down the backside so that the cutback opportunities were not there. That's a big, big, big piece to the Colts being able to be a run-stopping defense. You have to have those safeties, the backside corners, and you have to have linebackers who are smart enough to see the play, don't over-pursue, and are able to get those guys to a minimal gain, if anything at all. Kenny Moore, like I said, was great. Knocked down several balls yesterday. Was in the hip pocket of the receivers when he was there. Didn't have a flawless game, but man, he was good. Now, I've told you guys this in the past too. You can talk about the mismatch when other receivers and he get matched up because of the size difference. But Kenny Moore is an active dude. He is great at mirroring receivers, and he gets his hands in the way. Sometimes you just have a receiver that makes a great catch, and there's nothing you can do about it, no matter how good your coverage is. But Kenny Moore has been fantastic, in my opinion. He's going to continue to be because he just has a very good read and react ability, and you have to love that from a corner. The Colts corners, I don't think they're great right now, but we saw some really good plays. Pierre Desir had a nice play, nice pass breakup yesterday. You saw Quincy Wilson in there a little bit more than we have in the past. I think he was kind of average, you know, yesterday. Not great, not bad though either. He was physical. So you'd like to see that as well. But the Colts do need an influx of talent at the corner position. However, I think they've got a really nice base going on right now. Whatever they do with that, whoever stays, whoever goes, I think that you can look at some of the young guys, especially Kenny Moore, and say that's a piece that the Colts need to keep for a while because he does a great job of closing on the receiver and he does a great job mirroring and in man coverage, in my opinion. The Colts defensive line really needs a boost right now in terms of creating pressure. They were pretty good at the line for a large part of the game in kind of stopping the run, but they're just not getting a lot of pressure. We did see some, you know, Jabal Sheard, he got in the backfield a couple times. We saw a couple times where Marcus Hunt got in the backfield, but they weren't getting home, and they had time. And that's the thing. The Jaguars' offensive line actually, for the most part, yesterday did a pretty good job protecting Blake Bortles. And if you can get – I mean, we all know this. I mean, look, this is even for good quarterbacks. If you get in their grill and you do it consistently and you hit them a few times, their game plan changes. They see that pressure all the time. And even guys, though, just the same, I mean, on the other side of the coin, even guys like Blake Bortles, who aren't very accurate and aren't very good quarterbacks in all, in terms of the passing game, anybody can throw a dump pass over the back of the defense, I think. I mean, I think that that's pretty obvious. But even bad quarterbacks can be good if they don't have any pressure on them. And the Colts, you know, kind of proved that yesterday. They only had one official quarterback hit yesterday, and it was from Tyquan Lewis. I thought Lewis was fantastic. He looked good coming off the edge. He didn't have a huge statistical day. But we talk about that they were planning to use him probably more as a three tech yesterday. He had to be on the edge for the most part because Kamoko Ture was out. And I think you saw them with a nice rotation between him and Al-Qaeden Muhammad. I like a lot of what Tyquan Lewis brings here because he is that versatile piece. He can be inside and be effective. He's lightning quick out of the stance, and he does a good job of getting that upfield burst off the edge. You saw him coming around the edge. He wasn't always getting, you know, pressure, but you saw that especially on some quick passes or when Blake would step up into the pocket, you saw that he was off that edge and he was beating his assignment. And that's something you want to see, especially your first game out off IR. He's going to be good. I don't know if he's going to be special this year, but he's going to be good. He's going to be a big help. And he's a different kind of build. He's a different kind of guy. He's got more of a Jabal Sheard build, and he's got that same speed and quick out of the stance that you want to see from Kamoko Touré. Those two are not the same. They're not built the same, and they're not going to be the same. But you have to like what Tyquan Lewis brought to the game last night. The Colts overall had 9 tackles for loss. Only officially, like I said, 1 quarterback hit. But they hit Bortles' arm at least twice. They defended 6 passes. They just still didn't have any sacks. So, I mean, you kind of have to hate that in terms of the what actually came out of it, okay? But just in general, you know, you have to love that. I'm going to take a quick break real quick here. We don't have a lot left of the show, but I want to make sure I get this ad read in for you guys for TickPick. Make sure that you guys are getting this amazing app to buy tickets to any game, concert, or other event. It's TickPick. Are you looking for tickets to this week's game? They have another home game against the Titans this week. And if you want to know exactly what you're going to pay for those tickets, then TickPick is the place for you. The TickPick app is extremely easy to use. Best of all, there are absolutely no surprises at checkout. You find the game, find the seats you want, and you're all set. Think StubHub without any fees. You get the same tickets, same seller, but absolutely zero fees. You save 10 to 15% on every ticket order, and get this, for you guys, they're offering you an amazing offer of $15 off any single order over $99. Like I said, that doesn't include any shipping, so if it comes through a delivery system, that's separate. That has nothing to do with TickPick. If you get that stuff as an automatic ticket transfer, that part's free, $99 for your total thing, and or more than $99, and you're going to get $15 off. All you have to do is enter STAMPEDE15 as your gift code at checkout. This isn't a sign-up offer either, so if you've already got the app, you're still good to go. You can still get it. Not only do I use TickPick, but these guys are so good, I wanted to make sure that everybody got the knowledge about this company. I approached them. It was just so stinking easy, and nobody likes to find the seats they want, then get that smack in the face at checkout of another $35 to $50 in fees being added. I'll never use another ticket app again. It's a very user-friendly app, and you get the same great tickets and lightning-quick ticket transfers. Remember, that's TickPick, and use the gift code STAMPEDE15 to save yourself $15 on any order over $99. Go to TickPick, take advantage of this crazy offer today, 100% Colts-verified tickets on your phone. Get it. Trust me. You'll be glad you did. We talked about Tyquan Lewis a little bit, Anthony Walker, and these guys defensively, the Colts weren't fantastic throughout the game, but they did, like I said, these 9 tackles for loss. That's a lot, okay? I mean, that is a lot. And you saw that they weren't getting all of the pressure immediately, but they were doing great going side to side, okay? You saw some of the defensive ends and some of the linebackers being able to pop out to be able to get things done. That is important. It's important for them to get there and kind of not close off the edge, but force those running backs to stay out and not be able to turn up field. They did great doing that, and it really, really paid off. Overall, the Colts were 6 of 11 on third down. The Jaguars were 9 of 17, about the same percentage there, just on different attempts. And the Colts were 3 of 3 in the red zone, allowed 2 of 3 from the Jaguars. Overall, I mean, there is almost nothing to talk about in the second half other than a few mistakes, a couple missed opportunities. The first half was blowout, right? The Jaguars' offense was still making some plays. They were still putting some points on the board. But overall, we saw how explosive this offense can be. And if you can make that a full game, you can do that for 4 quarters. And it doesn't have to be, you know, the 29 points in the first half. Even 3 scores in the first half, that's a big help. But you've got to be able to do it for 4 quarters. You've got to be able to be effective. You've got to be able to run the ball. And the Colts could not run the ball yesterday. Like I said, you take that 53 yards away, you've got like 20-some yards rushing. That's not okay. That cannot happen. These guys, a lot of – now, and I'm not – I don't know enough about offensive blocking schemes in the run game to speak on this for sure. But what I am saying is I noticed a little bit more of the offensive line trying to get to the second level before they secured their blocks at the line of scrimmage. Yes, you want your guys to be able to get to the linebackers because that's second level yardage. I mean, that's where you really break a run. But you've got to secure the block in front of you first. And they weren't doing that a lot. We saw Quentin Nelson get beat once. He had a largely really good game, but we saw him get beat at least once. We saw a couple times where the tight ends would try to block down. They weren't able to do it. They were not able to secure those blocks, and that's a problem. They can't have that, and they've got to be able to be secure. The interior offense or offensively was still very good, very powerful, but you saw kind of the running pocket, for lack of better words, or the lane kind of close in around the running back a little bit. Marlon Mack didn't have a chance really to get up to speed too often. Some of the other guys that were back there, Nyheim Hines was, you know, basically nothing out of the running game. That a concern? I don't know. But that is going to be a template for other teams in the future. Okay, and the Colts have, you know, I wouldn't say some really powerful teams coming up, but they've got the Titans. They're one of the best defenses in the league. Okay, then they play the Dolphins, who also have a really good defense, and they're active up front. Their front seven's pretty impressive. And then they go back and face the Jaguars again, December 2nd. That's three really good defenses in a row, four if you include Sunday's game. Then you're going to play the Texans, another powerful defense. The Cowboys, their defense is really solid. The Giants, eh. But then you go back to the Titans to finish the year. The Colts are going to play a bunch of defenses this year, or the second half of this season, a bunch of good ones. So the Colts have to be effective for four quarters in the run game. They have to be effective for four quarters in protection. And Andrew Luck has to continue to be great in the passing game. These guys have to be more consistent. Now, there's kind of a thing that I've been thinking of in terms of Frank Reich and what he brings. This is really an important stretch for him, okay? In the past, we've seen Pagano just kind of, you know, crap out in the second half of the season. Frank Reich can really do a lot for this fan base, for the team, for the guys who are going to be on this roster for quite a while. He can do a lot by really trying to stay level and getting these guys to take off in the second half of this season. They're, like I said, they're going to play a lot of good defenses, okay? Some of their offense, I mean, the Titans put up 30-some points yesterday on the Patriots. The Dolphins, their offense is pretty garbage as well. I mean, Osweiler, you know, as soon as pressure comes, he just takes off and then he gets sacked. I mean, I think the Dolphins were sacked like maybe 8-9 times yesterday. It was ugly. If the Colts can get any kind of pressure on him, that should be a win for the Colts. But then you still have to play, you know, some decent teams that can put points up. The Texans can put points up. The Cowboys shown, you know, last night with their win over the Eagles that they can put points up. The Giants have the ability to put points up. The Colts have to do it on both sides of the ball through the second half of this season. Yes, they can win. They could run the table, legitimately run the table for the rest of the season. They could also get beat for half of these games if they don't put it all together. It's a very important stretch run for the Colts. It is absolutely pertinent that these guys do not take any days off or any practices. I'm sorry, for any plays off during the game. They've got to be impressive. That defensive line's got to be impressive. The offense has to be impressive. Everything has to be good. It can't just be okay. It can't just be good enough to get by. So there's a lot that the Colts have to do. They're in good shape, in my opinion. I think that the team is kind of rounding out. You see the chemistry on both sides of the ball. You see the playmaking ability from the defense. You see the playmaking ability from the offense. But they've got to put it all together, and they're absolutely going to have to do that in the second half of the season. If we expect them to even really kind of impress, they could be one of those teams that, okay, they didn't make it to the playoffs, but they showed a lot, and a lot of up, you know, top end free agents are going to want to come play for the Colts. The Colts are going to have a solid draft. You know, we can see that. I think even you can say whatever you want about the 2017 draft. A lot of those guys are still impressive players and have the ability to be really good. The 2018 draft so far was really impressive. I mean, these guys that have come off, we've seen Braden Smith, I mean, Quentin Nelson. I just think that a lot of it is coming together for the Colts right now. And if they can do something in the second half of the season, they're going to create a lot of buzz with the team, with free agents, with the fan base. It's going to be a fun rest of the season. They've got some matches, you know, some difficult matchups that they're going to have to honestly dominate. And if they can do that, the Colts will be in good shape. So Colts go to 4-5. A lot of season left. It's going to be an exciting and a fun one to watch. Let's hope that the Colts can put it all together. I would love to see them make the playoffs because I think they can do some damage if they just get in the door. And I think that's really what a lot of teams, especially a lot of those guys hovering around 500 right now, are really just trying to do. Just make it to the postseason, and we'll see what we can do. Because we saw the 500 team yesterday, you know, beat up on, you know, one of the only one-loss teams. I mean, Seattle played really, really well against the Rams and probably could have won that game. Nobody is a given in the playoffs. That one game, anything can happen. And the Colts could make a run. We'll have to see what happens. But I personally am excited for it. I think that there's a lot of potential with this squad. I think that you guys see enough of that as well. Here we go. Here we go, guys. It's really going to get fun now, and things are just going to start kicking off. So thank you guys all for chiming in. Thank you for all watching on YouTube. Thank you for listening. Make sure you get to the podcast. Hook us up with a 5-star rating and give us a review. Those always help. More reviews, the better. Make sure you take advantage of the Tick Pick offer, and make sure that you are always going to Stampede Blue for all your Indianapolis Colts news and analysis. Thank you guys all for watching, listening, and being here. I'll talk to you next time right here on the Colts Cast. Stampede Blue.
Hello, I'm Spencer Hall from SB Nation, and I want to tell you about my new show, It Seems Smart. It Seems Smart is a show about people doing things that, for some reason or another, seem smart at the time. Those things might include doing a little cocaine and driving a bike up a mountain. Or, I don't know, maybe racing 100 miles per hour across the country in the middle of the night with no one's permission. Or even stealing a bat from an umpire's room in a Major League Baseball park. Check it out, and if you like it, tell a friend. I'm Spencer Hall. Don't do anything smart.